All right. This morning, we have a very special guest with us, Mr. George South. George, met George a few years ago, and we just developed just a really rich friendship. And I think the world of him. And there's two things I think of when I think of my friend George. One, George, if you guys were here back in the fall when he came and spoke, you know, he's a professional wrestler. That's what he's done his entire life. And he's an amazing wrestler, but more than that, he's an amazing man of God. And so when I think about George, there's two things I think about. In professional wrestling circles and terminology, there's a term that's used called enhancement talent. And this is basically where a certain wrestler will be used to enhance the view of the champion. You know, like your job is to go out there and make the champion look good. And there's probably been times in George's career where he's been asked to play that role of enhancement. And what I love about it now is George is taking that into his spiritual life. Because I don't know of anybody else that I know of that is enhancement talent for Jesus more than George. Amen. That his whole life is about how can I make Jesus look better? Like how can I make the name of Jesus famous? How can I put over the ultimate champion of champions? And he does that on a daily basis. And it's just incredible the way that he just puts Jesus in front of every single thing that he does. He'll go wrestle these sold out shows. And the first thing he'll talk about is how many Bibles he gave away. I mean, it's amazing. And then the second thing I think about when I think of George is a prayer warrior. And George told me before, he's like, my prayer list has a prayer list. And that's the truth. Like that's it. And I'm telling you, he's taught me a lot about prayer because there's times when somebody will pop in my mind and I'll say a prayer for him, but I'll never tell him that I'm praying for him. But I bet I get 3 or 4 texts a week from George. Hey, man, just want to let you know I prayed for you today. Let you know I pray for your family today. Hey, I want you know I pray for your church today. And I know if he's taking the time to text that, he truly means it. And so I've tried to kind of adopt that same philosophy. Is that if I'm praying for somebody, just a simple text to let them know you're not forgotten. And so, I mean, to me, man, George is a champion in his own right because he's here about making Jesus as famous as possible. And he is about getting on his knees daily and praying for, man, everyone that God lays in front of him. And so I am truly excited to have George South back. You're in for a treat if you missed him last time. A wonderful friend. George, come on up.
All right. Man, I was going to let him keep going. I know it looks like I have moved in this morning, but I've got a little bit of everything. And I'm going to let this sweet lady help me, my assistant. Uh-huh. Oh, I shouldn't have said sweet. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay this down, if you don't mind, sweet girl, and I'm going to take this one first. Good morning to everybody. I got so much I am going to try to throw at you this morning. I've seen a lot of friendly faces from the last time that I was here. You know, Pastor Michael told me I didn't get it right last time. No, I kid. So he's giving me another chance. But folks, we do have a show this evening in Mocksville, and God is so good with his timing. You know, God don't make mistakes. And he cares about every area in your life. And he just lined all this up today for me. And I bring one of my referees, Matt, with me, you know, just in case there's a fight breaks out. I can get to 3 count right here. So I've got all the bases covered. But, you know, real quick, folks, last weekend, of course, was Father's Day. And a lot of you may know my story real quick. But, you know, I lost my mom and dad when I was 6 years old and never really knew them. I have a few pictures of my mom, but never knew my dad at all. All that our family had of him was a little bitty John Deere insurance card that he kept in his old truck. And so I lost my family when I was very, very young, and 13 brothers and sisters, if you can believe that. I was the youngest and the best looking out of that bunch. But, you know, I can remember when I lost mom and dad, I did this. I said, so what? Who's going to stop me? I'm going to do anything in the world that I want to do. And I can remember each brother sitting me on the end of the bed and trying to explain to me how messed up I was and how much trouble I was getting in, and that they had made those mistakes and didn't want their younger brother to do it. But I didn't listen. And finally, after moving around to different homes, I was very disrespectful. I ended up in my last brother, Brother Bill, ended up in his house with him and his wife. And I had stayed with him for about a week. Mean, just disrespectful. And Brother Bill said, "George, we've had enough. I make him put up with you, but my wife, she can't take it. So pack up what little clothes you have in that little old plastic bag, and we just got to go somewhere." And I said, "I don't care. Let's go." And he said, "Where do you want to go?" I said, "It don't matter. Just drop me off." So he put me in the front seat of his car. And as we were driving, it was like 3 a.m. in the morning. I can remember it like it was yesterday. You know, I was just being just a brat. You know, I'm hitting the dash. You know, I was messing with the radio dial. Remember that when they used to have like an actual dial you could turn and even rolling the windows up when you could do that with your hand. And I was just, get me out of this car. And for the first time in my life, and this ain't even what I was going to preach on this morning, I'm going to throw it at you, is he just began to tell me that somebody loved me. I'd never heard it. I didn't want to hear it then. So I just kept making more noise. And Brother Bill kept talking. And after about 30 minutes, he kept telling me that somebody loved me no matter what I've done, no matter what I'm going to do. And finally, I'd had enough. So at the front seat of Brother Bill's car, I said, "Stop this car." And I looked over at Brother Bill and I said, "Would you please tell me who it is that loves me no matter what?" First time in my life, I heard that God loved me. First time in my life ever I heard in the front seat of that car that God loved me. That God loved me so much that he gave his only son to die on a cross for me. Folks, the front seat of Brother Bill's car, I closed my eyes and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. And folks, guess what? He did. The lightning didn't hit me in the head. The earth didn't shake. Jesus just came into my heart and saved me. So many, many years passed by, but I never knew my dad. Didn't even have a picture of him. And then last year, I've even shared this with some of you. My sister lives up in Boone, North Carolina, Juliana. She was the closest one to me. She called me and said, "I got a surprise." I said, "Juliana, I don't need nothing. I got everything I need." She said, "Well, I'm going to send you something. I ain't going to tell you what, but I'm going to send you something." About a week went by. I go to the mailbox. There's a big vanilla envelope. I still have the envelope. And I opened it up, and I brought it this morning, and I take it basically everywhere I go. But for the first time in my life, I got a picture of my dad. This is my dad. First time I'd ever seen him is when I opened that envelope. So, folks, listen. All of those years, I may not have had this dad, but I had a dad. I may not have had this father to cry to when I didn't make the football team, when you pretty girls broke my heart, but I had a dad. So that's all I'm going to do here today is I tell you some great, great stories and some great verses is that God loves you. If we leave here in a little bit and you don't hear anything else I tell you, I want you to know that God loves you. Do you know that when they laid Jesus in that manger, he knew my name? As he grew up as a young boy and ran with his friends in the street and began to heal people, he knew my name. And then when they jerked him into that courtroom, you know, the Bible says that when he went into the courtroom, this side of the room was full of everybody that hated him. This side of the room was for the ones that supported him, and nobody was there. And as 100 soldiers came in front of him and punched him right in the face, he knew my name. And they spit on him and they laughed at him and he knew my name. And then they grabbed him by the hair and they drug him through the street. He knew my name. And folks, as they took him before the judges, the Bible says 3 judges says, "We don't know what to do with him." They took him to the place of skulls. Not that pretty picture that you think about, but buzzards, stink, death, darkness. He knew my name. And I always like to ask, you ever thought about where they got the nails from? Think about it. I had a guy tell me, "Well, did they have Lowe's or Home Depot back then?" I mean, think about it. You know what they did? They reached over in another dead, decayed body. And they pulled them spikes out of that body. And then they put them in the hands of Jesus. He knew my name. And then they looked and they said, it's done. The devil said, it's over. He's dead. Folks, for 2 days, you had no hope. For 2 days, cancer won, death won, sadness, disease won. No hope. There was no rabbits running around. There was no birds singing. There was no sunshine. But then after 2.5 days, birds started singing. After 2.5 days, rabbits were running. The sun came out, and then Jesus got up. Folks, that's why I can stand here this morning before I even open my Bible and tell you that the greatest thing that ever happened in my life was when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And if you have no hope here today, folks, you can get it. Jesus died for me. He knew my name. And folks, listen, COVID don't win. Death does not win. Beautiful Bobby Eaton of the Midnight Express, one of my best friends in wrestling, has been married 35 years. His sweet wife went to bed Saturday night and didn't wake up. And we're all in the wrestling world dealing with that this morning. Nobody knows what happened. But folks, listen, I didn't come here to depress you. I didn't come here. You say, whoa, George, man, I ain't even had a Mountain Dew yet, and you're laying some heavy stuff on us. Folks, if you are not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, you lose. And so what I did before I even get started, folks, listen, I got to show you this. This is a book. The reason that I didn't put it on that chair would fall in. You know what this is, and I'll try to hold it where you can see it. This is a WWE encyclopedia. This is like the biggest wrestling book in the world. Every pro wrestler in the world is in this book. This is one of the first editions, and they have done four. This is huge. I had a wrestling fan walk up to my table and say, can you sign this? I said, what is that? I didn't know it was out. But guess what? I'm in it. Not to brag, but page 105. But anyway. Anyway, I didn't know. But I'm in this thing. And I'm excited. My grandbabies carry this thing around. Y'all ought to try driving with this on your dash, okay? Not that I'm bragging, Matt, but, man, I'm excited. Long after I'm dead and gone, my grandbabies are going to be carrying this to school with them, okay? They're pawpaw, page 105, Matt. But, folks, listen to this. If I am in this book with Sting, Hulk Hogan, Randy Orton, The Rock, Sting, Ric Flair, all of them in this book. But if I'm in this book, and then I miss this book, it don't matter. Folks, if I'm in this book and I can brag about it and I can show everybody the wrestling encyclopedia, but I miss this book, I miss it all. Folks, the only thing that matters here today is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And folks, I ain't even started preaching yet. But you know, most of you, real quick, and listen, I told y'all, I got my Batman watch. And if I don't shut up when that alarm goes off, y'all going to hear the 1960 theme song. It's the coolest thing in the world. Sunday, when I preached at my church, the old lady got, while I was shaking hands when I was over, she looked disgusted. I said, ma'am, is anything wrong? I thought I did a pretty decent job. She said, I want to hear your phone go off. So, anyway, but folks, most of you, and I'm going to take this one, last one. Most of you know, real quick, folks, that many years ago, I simply walked in a Goodwill. And I love, you can say, well, that's where I got my wardrobe at this morning. But I walked one time, and I looked over there, and I saw a Bible just laying there. There's an old can of paint beside it. Pair of golf shoes laying on top of it. So I got that Bible, and it just was weird to see a Bible in Goodwill. So that day I asked the lady, what was the deal about this? She said, oh, we get them all the time. And I have shared with you, I love what they say. They say they get donated. I like to use throwed away, basically. So it was just interesting to me that a Bible, the precious Word of God, was in a Goodwill. So believe it or not, this was many years ago, I have started you've heard of rescue animals. I call them rescue Bibles. And if you can believe it, once a week I go in Goodwill. And I average about 105 Bibles a week that people just donate back. And it is just an amazing ministry that I take them back home and clean them up a little bit, and then I put them back out on the street. I'm a drug dealer for Jesus. No, I'm not. Don't y'all put that on Facebook, okay? Don't y'all quote me on that. But I take these same Bibles and clean them up, and I give them back out. Me and Matt was at a youth camp this past week in Sophia, North Carolina, 300 kids. I was able to over 100 Bibles to those kids that I rescued out of a Goodwill. But folks, every now and then, real quick, I open them up and there's notes in them. Some amazing notes, and I shared some with you last time. I shared one at my church on Father's Day that a dad had wrote to his son. I don't know these people. Don't know where they're at, but he had coached his son in ball, and he had gave this Bible to his son, and I don't know how it ended up in Goodwill. A lady at my church says, well, George, you know things happen. People move. Things get lost. And this young man's name was Cody, and I thought, no, I think Cody was just a brat, and he threw the Bible away, but I didn't tell her that. But amazingly, last week, I go in Goodwill, and this is why I brought this one. As you can see, this thing has been used. And what is amazing about every Bible that I've ever found, every page is intact. Ain't that amazing? Now, the cover on this one, is, as you can tell, has been used. And thank the Lord for that. There's some duct tape holding it together. But folks, what was amazing about this one is the note inside. And again, I don't know these people. I just found this Bible. This one was in a box of old rusted tools. This says that this was presented to Mr. and Mrs. Austin Ellis by W.A. Ellis, February the 15th, 1947. Ain't that amazing? 1947. One I love to hang on to, just to use when I share, and just to imagine the tears. Imagine the prayers, the answered prayers over this precious Bible. So I'm going to let that, sweetheart. Now, I'm going to start preaching. Okay, folks, real quick, you don't even have to open your Bible, but if you don't want to. But I'm going to be in Philippians here real quick, folks. And this is one of my favorite stories, folks. Most of you are familiar with Paul in the Bible. You know, in my profession, there's one or two things. You're either a baby face or you're a heel. That's it. You're either a good guy or you're a bad guy. There is no middle ground. Folks, listen, Paul wrote the book on being a heel. Paul was something else. And I know most of you are familiar with him, how he hated Christians, how he was actually paid to kill Christians. He didn't care if you were women, men, dog, or cat. Paul would kill you if you loved Jesus. And then one day, he simply met Jesus. And guess what? Jesus changed his life. Folks, this verse right here is my favorite verse. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Folks, my pastor back home, he stood up one Sunday morning, and it was early, and half the church was asleep, and I was over there about to nod off. I mean, I've been up wrestling all night. And he said, "You people need a little taste of bootleg preacher." And we all like fired up, said, "What in the world do you mean by that?" And it was just a term that he came up with that I loved. A bootleg preacher is just somebody that wants to tell people about Jesus. It doesn't matter if you've got seminary. It doesn't matter if you can read or write. If Jesus Christ changed your life, you can tell people about it. Folks, I like to tell people I am just dumb enough to figure this out. I am just dumb enough to understand that it is all of Jesus and it's nothing of me. So right here as I jump into this, Paul was mean, but he met Jesus. And it's so amazing to see here towards the end of Paul's life, and I don't want y'all to forget this. These few verses that I'm going to throw at you, Paul was probably in prison. Can you imagine the guard that was assigned to be handcuffed to Paul? Can you imagine this fellow that didn't believe in God, didn't believe in Jesus? Do you imagine how many times Paul probably witnessed to him? And he couldn't go nowhere. He couldn't go nowhere. He probably thought, "Get me out of these chains." Paul just wanted to tell people about Jesus. Folks, I wrote a life story years ago. The first guy that bought it told me this. He said, I said, "Well, what'd you think of my book?" He said, "Well, you know what? I liked it. It was a real good book." He said, "I felt like we were just sitting around talking. I felt like we were just sitting around a campfire and you were just talking." And folks, that's what I'm going to share with you here this morning. Paul, towards the end of his life, he's just excited about his friends that are just still in the ministry. His friends that have not fell by the wayside. He's here to just kind of encourage them a little bit, and he's just excited. There's so much joy in these few verses. Paul's just excited to see his friends still serving the Lord. So just a couple verses here real quick. We're going to be in Philippians, folks. And I tell you, we're going to be in Philippians 1, but 3 through 10, if I can get through it. I got time. Batman ain't going to go off. Folks, listen to this verse real quick. This ain't even where I'm going to start, but I want you to listen to this very first verse in Philippians. It says, "Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all." Folks, in my Bible, those two words, "to all," I've highlighted it 14 different colors. Everybody needs Jesus. To all. It didn't matter to Paul. Folks, everybody within the sound of my breath, your neighbors, your kids, your grandkids, they all need Jesus. Folks, I'm telling you, anyway, let me get this. I got so much I'm going to throw at you. Start with verse 3. Paul simply says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Wait a minute, George. "I thank my God." Do y'all think about it? USA Today did a survey a couple weeks ago, you know, one of those little pies. And they said, what is the average ratio of Christians that thank God on a regular basis? It was like 2%. Now, this is what USA Today said. It's like 2%. Folks, do you thank God? Now, I don't watch y'all when you eat, but when I sit down at a restaurant, I like to see who prays before they eat. I'm going to get beat up one day for doing it. You ever think about that? I love this. Listen to this. Chuck Swindoll says this: "There shouldn't be a day, even an hour, that goes by without saying thanks to God for some kind of help throughout the day." Folks, I get in my car, I crank it up. I used to just take off. You know what I do? I just stop for a second. Thank Jesus that car cranked. Man, the simplest things. You know, Matt laughs at me because, you know, I used to walk in Walmart, folks, you know, during COVID. and they'd have all this free stuff, you know, the hand sanitizer, they'd have the wipes, they'd wipe my buggy down. So, you know, COVID's like disappeared for some reason. But anyway, so now I go in Walmart and there was nothing. I mean, there was no wipes, there was no hand sanitizer. So I asked the young lady, the greeter, I said, ma'am, where is the hand wipes? She said, aisle 8. I swear, I said, no, I don't, I mean the free ones. She said, aisle 8. So ain't no free sanitizer no more. That ain't got nothing to do with what I'm preaching about. But folks, thank God. Seriously, thank God. And you say, George, you don't know what I'm going through. Thank God that you got him to go through it with you. Just amazing. Now I'm gonna get. Now this gets good. That was good too. But here we go. Listen to this. Verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Folks, Paul prayed. Pastor talked about it this morning. Man, I love to pray. You know, a few weeks ago in Lincoln, North Carolina, I was at a show just setting up my little gimmick table where we sell T-shirts. And a young lady walks right up to me. I never saw her before in my life. And she said, do you pray? I said, yes, ma'am, I sure do. She said, can you pray for my mother? I said, hold on here. Let me get a pen. I want to make sure I get the name. So I wrote her name down. Her name was Courtney. Her name was Marty. And her mother was fixing to face cancer surgery. So I wrote their names down on my prayer. I took it home. I put it on my prayer list. Weeks go by. Months go by. But I've been praying for Courtney and for Marty. And almost 2 months went by, and I was at another show in a different town, and I saw these ladies walking in the front door, and I thought, man, that looks like Courtney. So I go running up to her, and they all kind of, you know, jump back. And I said, sweetheart, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, and I may have this wrong. I said, but is your name Courtney? She stepped back, and she started crying. And I said, hold on a minute now. I've been hitting the head. Let me just think. I've been hitting the head a lot. I said, your mom's name, Marty. She started crying even more. And this young girl grabbed me and hugged me, the tightest hug I've ever heard. And in front of everybody, she said, I cannot believe that you remember my mom's name. She said, how did you remember that? I said, Courtney, I went home that day, and I wrote it on my prayer list. And I've been praying for both of you. And her mom had surgery. Her mom is doing very well, considering all she's been through. And she said, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to tell my mom that you've been praying for her. So how did I know that? Folks, I have no clue what I'm doing. But I put it on my prayer list. Folks, that's what Paul's talking about here. Paul prayed for these friends. All right, real quick. Let's move on real quick. I love this, folks. Verse 5. And we almost sung about it in one of the songs this morning, if you can believe it. And we had no idea that song was going to be sung. But listen to verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Folks, when I first wanted to be a pro wrestler, the first job I ever had was an old textile mill. Back in Ranlow, North Carolina, they throwed me in an old warehouse. I didn't even have a license. I said, what am I going to do here? They said, you're going to drive a truck. I said, well, I want to be a wrestler. They said, you're going to drive a truck first. So they put me in there with three men, Mike Porter, Hoppy, and a fellow named Harold Summey. Now, Mike Porter was just an old family guy. Folks, I was 17 years old. I can remember these three men. Mike Porter was a good family man. Hoppy was something else. Hoppy was a gambler, buddy. He'd bet you, if you told him it was daylight, he'd bet you $10 it was dark. So he was a character. And then there was Harold Summey. Harold Summey invited me to church at 17 years old with him and his wife. And I said, I ain't never been to church in my life. I mean, I'm living on my own. I'm going to be a wrestler. He said, just go with us. I said, no. Next week, George, would you go to church with me? All right, if you'll shut up. But I'll tell you, Harold, I'm sitting on that back row. and I'm not shaking one hand. He said, that's fine. Harold Summey took me to church. And that night at church, I remember the pastor talking about the blood of Jesus, but I didn't want to hear it. And I had accepted the Lord years before, but folks, I was running. I was running. And let me tell you something. So right after I went to church with Harold Summey, I got a chance to be a pro wrestler, and I took off. I joined the circus, and I never looked back. But all these years, I've been wondering, what happened to those three men? I mean, folks, we're talking 40, 45, 50. Oh, it's been a long time. But you know, I never got to thank Harold Summey. And over the years, I would wrestle around Ranelo, North Carolina, and I'd ask people in gas stations, restaurants, you ever heard of Harold Summey? Man, we don't know what you're talking about. So a few weeks ago, folks, I don't even know how to get on Facebook, but my daughter was helping me, and I was able, in one of these junk sites in Ranelo, I just posted, does anybody know Harold Summey? That's all I ask. Boom. 3 minutes later, a young lady wrote me back, said, of course I do. Whoa. This first of anything I've even connected with Harold. So I wrote this. So I sit down. I said, ma'am, I said, I know you're going to think I'm crazy. And this may not be the Harold Summey that I'm thinking about, but can you ask him if he knows this old crazy teenager that's a lot older now and a lot grayer, but wanted to be a wrestler? 2 minutes later, she wrote me right back. Yep. Yep. That's it. She said, here's my number. Give him a call. Folks, I had to sit down. It'd been over 40 years. This man that took me to church, I never got to thank him. There's no way this can be Harold Summey. So, folks, I prayed, Lord. I'm a nervous wreck. But please let this be Harold. Just let me tell him thank you. So, folks, I called him. Believe it or not, it was Harold Summey. My Harold Summey. He's 75 years old, gets up and goes to work at the golf course every day, sounded healthier than me. I said, Harold, I got to see you. He said, what for? I said, I just want to tell you thank you. He said, I ain't done nothing. I said, buddy, you took me to church in the very beginning. You was a brick on my road to the cross. So we met right off of the interstate. It was funny. When I saw a steakhouse restaurant parking lot, it was like a love story in a movie. I ain't lying. Them people thought we was crazy. I saw Harold. He saw me. We're both old, so we had to run slow, preacher. But, man, it was like slow motion. And I grabbed that old man, and I hugged him, and we both were crying. Those people were backing off around these two crazy people in a parking lot. But, folks, I got to tell Harold Summey, thank you. And he still, to this day, we talk every day. And it is just so neat to connect with someone that, like the verse I just read, folks, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. All right, folks, I got to finish this. This is it. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Folks, Jesus don't tie. Jesus don't come in second. Jesus don't leave anything broken. My grandbabies say, Jesus don't leave a shoe untied. I love that. Folks, you know, right before COVID, I got my grandbaby, Michaela. They were going to have field day. Everybody remembers field day. And I take this serious. I had Michaela drinking raw eggs. I mean, running the streets. Matt, we're going to win this thing. Me and Michaela's in a three-legged race. And I'm sitting on the front porch drinking Mountain Dew while she's cutting grass. And we're going to win this thing. So we get to field day. And they strap me and Michaela's leg together. And I look down. I look at these parents. I said, I think I got this. I think I got this. And Michaela says, this is a true story. She said, would you calm down? I said, what do you mean? I said, Michaela, I didn't come here to lose this thing. She said, well, everybody wins. I said, excuse me? She said, everybody gets a ribbon. I said, it's true. It's a story. I said, what are you talking about? She said, it doesn't matter if we win or not, we get a ribbon. I said, you gotta be kidding me. I untied that belt. I said, find me a teacher. I go up to the teacher. I said, what's going on here? What do you mean everybody gets? Oh, yeah. Everybody gets a ribbon. You mean if we don't even try? I look down. Michaela's giving me that like smart aleck look. If we don't even try, we get a ribbon? He said, yeah. She said, yeah, sure. We give everybody a ribbon. So see what I'm still mad over that. Listen, Jesus, don't come in second. Whatever he begins in you, he will finish. I told a buddy last week, I said, Jesus answers every prayer you give him. Some he just answers in heaven. You ever think about that? Jesus answers every prayer you lay at his feet. Some of them he just answers in heaven. I'm gonna finish this up, folks. And again, all Paul's doing here, he's in prison. Listen to me. Paul's fixing to get his head cut off. But he's showing some joy here. And you know what I love about these few verses? This ain't even a list of Paul's needs. All Paul's talking about here, the joy, the love, is what he's already got. All right, last thing. Here we go. Folks, I want you to slide down to verse 8 real quick. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. He says, God is my record. Folks, what is God to you and me? You know, Brett Farr, Aaron Rodgers, the great Green Bay quarterback, said this past week on ESPN, he said, I just can't understand why any of you would believe in God. Folks, soon Aaron Rodgers is going to believe in God. You may not believe in him now, but you're going to. So I ask this simple question as I get ready to close, as Paul said, for God is my, what? Judge? Friend? Enemy? Somebody that don't understand? Folks, God loves you. God loved you so much that the only thing that he could give was his son for you and for me. Last verse, last story. And then Matt's going to take me to Bojangles. Okay. Because it don't matter. Y'all overeat. Everybody wins. You get a ribbon. Michaela's still mad at me for having to run those laps. But anyway. All right, here we go. Last verse, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Folks, I'll be the first to tell you, and I said it a while ago, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. If you think I'm not nervous when I walk up to somebody with a Bible, I am. There is no blueprint, folks, on how to get this right. I told you at my church, I love meeting people when they come in the front door. And that morning, the pastor had asked for a special prayer for let's say, John Smith. He was facing terminal cancer, and just pray for the family. I didn't know the man, so I'm greeting people at the front door. The first man that walks in was this good-looking, sharp fella. Guess what his name was? John Smith. And I grabbed him and hugged him, and he backed up. I said, John, forgive me for saying this, but you look great. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, you're on our prayer list. And I didn't know how to tell it, but guess what? That wasn't the same John Smith. He ain't been back to church either, preacher. But I tried. No wonder he didn't know what I was talking about. It was the other John. What's the chances of two John Smiths? But folks, listen, I'd rather make a mistake for Jesus than not do nothing. I posted this morning on Facebook one of my favorite sayings. I'd rather repeat my prayer a million times than to have silence with the devil. I'd rather call out your name in this wonderful church every morning. You know, I used to be this way. When I first joined a church, my early years, when I first got married, I remember Clyde Thompson. He's going to be with the Lord, burly looking fellow, played football in college. He was a deacon. And I passed him in the hallway going to Sunday school one morning. And I said, Clyde, pray for you. And I felt this big hand grab me, like right here on the hip. And I said, what in the world? And he jerked me around and we were nose to nose. He said, did you really? I said, what are you talking about? Well, you just passed me in the hall and you said you prayed for me. Did you? Uh-oh. I said, no. And I learned a lesson. If I tell you I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to pray for you. My last story. I'm done. I got a bunch of them, folks. Listen, me and Matt, we go to Eden, North Carolina, a little small town. I love that area. I've wrestled there many, many times years ago, and it's a small town now. A lot of the businesses have closed up, and even now, the businesses that are open, around 3 or 4 o'clock, they all pack up. There's no people. This beautiful little town. Well, a buddy of mine owns a shop there, and he said, I'm going to do a block party in this town. And we're going to invite all the vendors, and I'm thinking, this guy's crazy. He said, we're going to put a wrestling ring up on Main Street, and we're just going to invite the world. I said, okay, let's see. Folks, we get to Eden, North Carolina, the block party. There's music. There's corn dogs. There's food. Oh, my goodness. And all of a sudden, people start coming. And next thing I know, there's 1,000 people in this town. And I have a small table set up. And guess what? I'm giving out rescue Bibles. I'm giving out my little comic tracks. And what was so funny, they had the street blocked off, and I'm getting ready to close this thing. All of a sudden, here comes a car blaring. Slams on brakes. And everybody's yelling, no, no, you can't. It's blocked. You can't get through here. Guess what? And this old fellow rolls down the window, Pastor, and he looks out and says, I'm with the mayor. I ain't never seen so many people open up roadblocks in my life. I ain't never seen so many people clear a way for a friend of the mayor. Folks, I am going to heaven because I'm a friend of the mayor. I am going to heaven no matter what I've done here on this earth, no matter how many times I mess up, no matter how many times I just lose it, I am going to heaven because I'm a friend of the mayor. If people here on earth act that crazy and clear an opening, imagine what's waiting for me in heaven. So, folks, as I close this thing, you're going to think, whoa, George, you sure you ain't had about 10 Mountain Dews? Folks, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. If you walk out of here, if you lay your head down tonight like Bobby Eaton's wife did, she didn't wake up. And folks, I know Bobby. I know Bobby's heart, but I don't know if his wife knew Jesus as her personal Savior. So it is a serious thing, folks. But as I close, I'm going to have a prayer and I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor. I believe here, folks, if you want to meet and get a picture, folks, I want you to know this, and then I'm going to close. I am a friend of the mayor. He has washed me by the blood of his son. And that alone is all I need. I tell people, I used to argue when I first got saved, I would argue with people because I know what Jesus did in my life, and I wanted to shake them and just say, do you understand what you're turning down? Do you understand what you're rejecting? And then I got this, and I'm going to close. It comes down to this. I shared it last time I was here. I cannot be right and this world be right. Somebody has to be wrong. You ever thought about that? We all can't be right. You can say, Georgia, nobody agrees on nothing. The one thing we can all agree on is somebody's got to be right and somebody's got to be wrong. Folks, I'm here to tell you right now that if I'm wrong, and I know I'm not, I've lost a little peace, joy that Paul talks about. But if this world is wrong, they lose it all. Folks, that's how serious this is. Folks, I love you. I'm going to pray. Please continue to pray for me. and Matt as we hit the roads. And folks, you know, those 100 Bibles I gave to the kids, some of them may end up back in Goodwill. But if just one kid takes it home, reads it, gives his heart to Jesus, puts it on the coffee table, dad comes in after a four-day drunk and picks the Bible up and gets saved. My goodness. Let's pray and I'm done. Lord Jesus, I come here, Lord, to just thank you. As the song said, the wonderful song, Lord, I just want to sit at your feet and just soak you all in. Father, thank you for Paul's life, that we can look back, Lord, at just his life and Lord, how you changed him. Father, I pray for this church. I pray for the pastor and his family every day. So, Lord, just continue to bless them. Father, you already have with the bank situation, God, how good you are. So bless us now. Bless this church and their families. Lord, everybody here that's hurting, Lord, may they just remember that you are not done with any of us. Father, I love you. Thank you for all that you're doing in my life. In Jesus' name, I pray and give thanks. Amen. Amen.